Jenny, you could come on anytime you want. And I'm so glad to be back. Kyle said, last time I ministered here was in March, but I did come on June 15th, Sunday, and then I had to go to Korea, Cambodia, going back and forth. And so exactly 5 months ago that I was here. And wow, 5 months. I think children are taller. I want to say that you guys are getting older, but just children are getting, growing up. I'm here to make this incredible news announcement that the words that we're going to read, that I'm going to read, we're going to study together, will set you free. So the Dodgers won, right? And just like Pastor Barry, he's not a Dodgers fan, so it almost felt like that. Dodgers won and there's silence. Whole bunch of Pastor Barrys here. I don't follow sports. I follow Jesus. But anyway, so when my children text me and said, Dad, Dodgers won, I'm like, oh, is it baseball season? Because I really don't follow any sports. So it was really, I'm going to repeat the sentence again, and I want to hear this crazy loud cheering as if, you know, Dodgers won. Okay, so through the word of God today, you will be set free. Amen. Amen. And this is word of the Lord, because Pastor Barry is very structured and he projects into the future. And I received email June 6th, and he said, Pastor Oak, can you minister to us in November 16th? That was like, wow, you know, I don't think that far, you know. So I said, sure, you know, when Pastor Barry writes to you, I take it very seriously. Well, you didn't get that very seriously. So I was ready. I prepared a message 3 months in prior, and I was ready to go. I was ready to write a book on it. But and then 3 weeks prior, he emails me and says, oh, we're doing this First John series. Would you be able to tweak your message to fit John 5, verse 1 through 12? And of course, you know, and I'm willing to change. And so I start reading the text because I did prepare a message before. And then as I was in prayer, realized it's two messages in one. It's the exactly same thing. So I want you to, for the first time in your life, hear the word of God. Don't read, don't post anything up. I just want you to hear. And this is what I do. When we talk about quiet time, doing quiet time with the Lord, it is actually a conversation time. It is that you want to hear what God is saying through the text that was written and let it speak to you, not just read with your eyes. A lot of times it's best for you to verbalize the word of God, because faith comes by hearing the word of the Lord. So I want you, for the first time in your life, hear this text just once through. So I'm going to just slowly read. You could close your eyes and ask the following question. What are the key words that Lord is highlighting out of this incredibly long text, 1 through 12? Or do I see a vision? Or do I hear things? Do I feel something? Is there any concept that just comes afresh? Or God could show you some face that, wow, you know, I need to deal with that issue or that person or that circumstance. So let the word of God speak to you, and so that you're in the posture of listening when I now going to read this incredible text. This is word of the Lord, 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 through 12. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God. By loving God and carrying out his commands, this is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testified, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is a testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony of God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Wow. What is God speaking to you? Holy Spirit, God, come, speak to us. What are you telling us, saying to us, Lord? What shall we do? Amen. Amen. What was the word that rings true? As I was reading, it's like, wow, that really spoke to me. This is how you actually discern God's will. This is how you need to read Bible every day. And that's how God leads. And I'm going to share a little bit of how that works out in my life. So as I was reading this, and before Pastor Barry asked me to preach on this text, I was working on something else. And as I was reading this over and over again, the word freedom comes to me. I'm like, freedom? It's not even mentioned here. So, Lord, what does freedom got to do with the text that we just read? And then immediately I saw a vision. And some of you operate in that way. That's good. And I see a vision. It catapulted me back to Genesis. And then through on with through Genesis, and then Exodus, and then I'm so this is really fun time when you do quiet time, when you're in your guys in your cave in the morning with your coffee, open up the Bible and start reading, and then it will take you to places. It will make you experience this incredible stuff. And I was catapulted into the, and watching this as Moses, at age 80, talking to God, right? You know about Moses. You taught Sunday school, and you know the story. You know, for me, when I came to America, I saw Charlton Heston as, you know, the Ten Commandments. It's like, Moses is Charlton Heston for me, you know. But so there's Charlton Heston talking to God, and he's 80 years old, old man. And God said, now, finally, out of the water, Moses, your name, man, I'm going to save my people. And he says, why now? I'm old. I'm tired. You should have called me. I volunteered when I was 40 to be the savior of my people. And God said, I don't take volunteers. I choose. And so at age 80, he said, well, how would they know who you are? Right? In Hebrew, Yada. How would they know you? What's your name? The word yada is very important, because it's not about information. English is such a functional language. If you only read Bible in English without really going through the original text, you're missing out a whole lot. Because English is only describing, it's a functional language. So when Moses says, how do they know you? Yada in Hebrew, it doesn't mean gathering of information. Yada means actually relationship, intimate relationship. Adam, yada, Eve, and Eve became pregnant. Wow, that's different yada, right? It's like, yeah, I know about you. I know you like blue color, you like to eat certain food, that doesn't get her pregnant. knowing a lot of information about the woman doesn't get her pregnant. So Eve, Yada, Adam, Yada, Eve doesn't mean Adam knew about Eve, all the stuff about her. No, it's about having intimate relationship that gave a birth to a child. So when Moses asks, how did they Yada you? He's not asking about information. God's people knew about God. They memorized, right? They know about God. They said, no, how did they have relationship with you, God? Much more profound, isn't it? And God says, I am the becoming one. What? I am that I am. Or in Hebrew, I am the becoming one. It's active verb. God is not a noun. God is a verb. And that's pretty profound. Why? Because God is not saying that, well, I am this, I am that. And then what we do, humans, we immediately make it into an idol. I am God, the sun. Oh, Apollos. We make sun God and worship God. Because it's so easier for us to box God and manage God, carry God, make it into a little idol. And God says, no, you will not make image out of me. I am the becoming one. I am that I am. I will become the God that you need to me at the spot, on the need, on the base of your need. So we call out to Jehovah Jireh, one who provides. This is one of the popular things that, God, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. What you're saying is you're addressing Jehovah Jireh, one who provides. And so when you're really sick, don't call on the name of Jehovah Jireh. Call on the name of Jehovah Rapha, one who heals. You know those principles, right? So Jehovah Jireh, you know, is one of those really weird and crazy kind of stuff that, I have a lot of testimonies, but this one really like, whoa, this one's pretty far out. So Jenny and I, you know, we live about 6 months a year in Cambodia. And about 10 years ago, this young man, 25, he's a Filipino, he's MK, missionary kid, and he came to Cambodia to plant a church, and we start helping him out. You know, he's the same age as my last child. And he grew up to be this really incredible man of God and started worshiping at our center, but he quickly outgrew about 40, 50 people, and our centers cannot really house them, and we end up at this, you know, really nice seventh floor, a university auditorium set or room that could house about 200. And so Pastor Dave comes to us and said, Pastor O, we're going to do all-night prayer, all-time style. You know, it's like we're going to gather at 6 p.m. and we're going to pray till 6 a.m. I'm like, I'm too old for that, you know. It's like 12 hours? For real? He said, yes. I said, okay, well, Jenny and I were elders of the church, and so we couldn't say no to a young pastor who wants to spend 12 hours in prayer, you know. He invited four guest worship team, well, our team, so four worship teams going to take 3 hours, and they're going to literally worship 12 hours of prayer. I said, okay, let's go for it, you know, and we're there worshiping God. The first session was almost over, and I'm so thankful that I could be part of this community where they take God seriously. And they want to spend 12 hours in prayer, seeking God. And this is international community, so a lot of pastors, a lot of 24/7 prayer warriors, intercessors from all over the world, actually. It's this very international church. And we're gathered, and we're worshiping, we're just praying. And out of the blue, Lord speaks to me and says, fund is released. And Lord said, write it down. So I always carry a notebook. So I said, wow, finance, see, I wrote it here, finance is released. I said, okay, Lord, what does that mean? Write, what time is it now? 8:49, sir. Write 8:49 p.m. So I wrote 8:49 p.m., okay? So as soon as I wrote that, I got a buzz from, I had my cell phone. And I got in silence. So someone just texts me. And I mean, this is prayer meeting, so I will never look it up. And Lord said, look it up. So I got the phone, opened it. I get a text from a lady in New York. And she writes, "Oh, Pastor O, I received your email for the request of the funding, but I was traveling. I'm in Africa doing some mission work. And I just saw it. I'm so sorry. Late reply, I will support your project." Finance is released. I got a text from New York, "I will support your project." Wow. I think God deserves some clapping, don't you think? It's better than Dodgers winning, man. Come on. So, and I thought, wow, that's so weird. Because, I mean, we've known her for many years, and actually, that project was over. I don't need the finance. So I thought, Lord, that's weird, because it's over. It's done. And 3-4 weeks later, Pastor Dave once again said, "Pastor O, elders, can we go to church again and spend some time in prayer?" And we could never say no to prayer. So we said, okay, let's go. So there's another lady named Ruth Elliott. She's an English lady and she was actually getting her PhD at Oxford, Cambridge. God told her to drop everything, come to Cambodia, start a trafficking ministry. So she's been ministering to girls in the sex industry, and she saw 900 girls saved out of that industry. I mean, just incredible lady. So she's one of the three elders, and so three of us and Pastor Dave, we start worshiping, and Pastor Dave just out of the blue said, "You know, Pastor O, wouldn't it be nice if we could rent the whole facilities, but a little bigger than this room, whole facility, 24/7, so we could start 24/7 prayer center here?" Because we couldn't afford it, so we were only renting it on Sunday. And I said, "Yeah, that'll be great." And he said, "Oh, it's this guy from Germany. Committed $2,400. I'm like, "Oh, wait a minute. How much are we paying?" "Oh, about $350 a month." "Oh, $2,400. That's about $200,000 more. Okay, that's about $500. And at that moment, I get a text from the lady again. And she says, "Oh, Pastor O, I'm sorry. I had to finish Africa mission, and I just sent you $3,350 to your account." I'm like, wow, I'm doing the calculation, okay? And Jenny committed, "Well, let's have a gigantic TV, you know, so that we could all watch." And she committed 1,000, like, "Well, 3,000, 1,000, and I add a couple hundred. Hey, Pastor Dave, if I give you 5,000 by today, would it come to close?" I said, "Oh, not really, because it's to rent it whole thing, 1,150. So, "Oh, okay." But I committed, we gave. Just this morning, I got an email from Pastor Dave again saying that, "Oh, the building, they decided to give us 40% off. So now it's $850 if we could come to." He said, "We're very close." I just wrote to him, "Go for it. God's in it. Rent it out. We're going to do 24/7 prayer in Phnom Penh, Cambodia." Hey.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Forget Dodgers, man. This is it, man. Wow, I'm just like, really, God?
God is good.
Amen. No, I mean, it's like, you really do that? You do that for your children? You do that so that we could be in prayer? You do that because you're going to unite all these prayer teams to one location, and we're going to have the prayer team? I'm just like, we talk about Jehovah Jireh. And in that context, it makes so much sense. It makes so much sense. See, the Bible says, what does the Bible say? Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know, yada, gnosis, that we love the children of God. Knowing is not information gathering. Knowing is intimacy. Out of intimacy, God speaks. Give God a chance to speak to you. Don't turn your Bible reading, the quiet time, into a religious activity. turn it into a conversation. Give God room to speak to you, right? And then God's going to show over and over again that He is real, that He is alive, that He can do stuff that you could only give testimony and never give yourself credit. You know, a lot of times testimony, if you get the credit, you don't call that testimony. It'll be just bragging. But if God gets the credit, yeah, that's testimony. Because, you know, we're not that smart. We're not that smart to figure this out, you know. I'm not so smart that, okay, I'm going to set up the meeting. Okay, wow, isn't it great? No. You cannot figure that. Nobody's that smart to figure all this out. It's just absolutely God is in complete control. So when you pray, when you read the word, what kind of word does God give? What a key concept. What are the emotions? Is there a song? Sometimes I hear a song. Sometimes I smell. Sometimes I see a vision. I saw a vision of Moses speaking to God, and that intimacy out of that, Moses now walked with confidence, with freedom. Why? Because situation will change. And then when situation change, God becomes the situation, God of the situation. Amen? And that's what God's been doing in all our lives, caring, the following. You know, that's why Jesus said, you want to be my disciple? Yes, Lord, we want to follow you. Then figure me out. He did not say that, right? That only smart people could be disciple of Jesus, right? What did Jesus say? Follow me. Our God is moving God. That's why 2/3 of God's name is go. He's always going somewhere, right? He's going somewhere. And so don't say that, I love Jesus, I love God, but where are you going with him? No, I'm not going anywhere. No, but he's going somewhere, right? Why would he say, follow me, if he's not going anywhere? He should say, well, stay with me. Party with me. Well, this isn't great. Well, just stay and let's party. No, he said, follow me. That's why when Jesus said, I need to go, then you must go and make disciples of all the nations. It's misinterpreted. It's not go. It's actually let's go and make disciples of all the nations. Jesus in the business of going. Where are you going with him? It's not a location. This could be Long Beach, could be your destiny, and you are going to Long Beach, wherever city you're from, and making disciples. Wow. Because out of that knowing, it's not information, it's gnosis. When Jesus said, I do not know you, he didn't say, I don't have information about you. He numbered your hair, Jesus said. But I have no gnosis, I have no yada with you, I have no relationship with you. And so to be born again, to know God, and to experience this God, is that if you are born of God, that you know and love Christ because you know that Christ is from God, and because you have known relationship, yada, gnosis, now you have understanding of what God wants, what God is doing, and you just join Him in the things that God is doing. You know, this is kind of crazy story again. It's just like there's a sense of like, you know, God, why do I feel this way? Because last year, October, Jenny and I, we spent 4 months in Korea. And Jenny turned of age. She turned 65. She doesn't look 65. Just age, you know. She turned 65. And when you, as a Korean person, when you turn 65, in Korea, they will allow you to become a double citizen. So she could become Korean citizen with Korean passport and American citizen with American passport. It's just so convenient, especially Korean passport now. You could go more places than American passport. It's like Vietnam. You don't need visa. You just go in. It's like you going through Tijuana. You just go in. For American citizen, we have to apply to embassy, pay $45, wait, and it's just, and so it's just one of those things. And especially working in Cambodia. It's very convenient. So we spent 4 months in Korea. Last October, I found out that, wait a minute, the suicide rate during OECD countries, developed countries, 38 countries, Korea is number one in adult suicide and children's suicide. Number one. I'm like, how is that possible? Right? Everybody thinks like Korea is a fun place, dynamic Korea, right? Right? K-pop and all that. No, no, no. Kids, they are so miserable. 40 people die daily by suicide. Daily. Right? During COVID, 16,000 Koreans died because during COVID, same time, 18,000 killed themselves. Suicide is killing more people more than COVID-19. And government and all these, especially Christians, are very silent because we are shame culture. We don't talk about it. I end up meeting this guy who did a suicide prevention for 12 years. He's pretty well known, and he said, Pastoral, if an elder or deacon at a church die of heart attack, I guarantee you it's suicide. They just will never announce it. And I said, that's sad. We need to talk about this. And so, because there is that kind of holy dissatisfaction about what's going on, right? And you could turn that into complaining session, like, and talk about it, and it doesn't do anything. It has no eternal consequence if you just complain about it. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to write a book. So a calling in my life is to write a book. So I said, I'm going to write a book on suicide. You know, so here I am. Okay, so how do you? That's why you pray. I said, Lord, where do I start? This is kind of a crazy story. Lord started downloading on, and because as I was writing this, I started listening to BY. BY is a premier Korean rapper, Christian rapper. A lot of his lyrics are just Bible, straight out from the Bible. So I said, wow, this would be great to merge BY's lyric, because I'm going to write a book for secular. It's not a Christian book. I want the guys, the kids who's going to about to kill themselves to at least hear the lyrics from the BY, and then I put in the Kierkegaard philosophy and my little thing on suicide prevention, and I did some research in Korea and seven major cities in Korea, because each city, the reason that young people kill themselves is all different. It's pretty wild. Seoul, because of the pressure of the job. Busan, because they don't have a job. I mean, like, can't you just move, you know? And you don't have to kill yourself, right? But I wrote, and then I got excited. I wrote a chapter on BY's lyric and my thing, and I got so excited. I had the file in my hand, and I was having lunch with the professor. He used to be a worship leader, 1989-91. We used to have a lot of gathering of Korean-American kids. 1991, we had 7,000 Korean-American kids here in L.A. And and he was our worship leader. He was playing guitar. But now he became a professor and very well-known in Korea. And we're having lunch together. I said, hey, BJ. I put him the file down. He said, I wrote a chapter on suicide prevention. Someone should write a book. And I'm using BY text, the lyrics. And he said, oh, that's nice. Oh, I mentor BY, Pastor O. I'm like, no. How could you mentor BY? BY is famous, man. He said. And he said, well, I'm famous too. I'm like, oh, okay, you know. Said, is there a way we could meet? I said, oh, yeah, sure, you know. I'll arrange something. Well, that weekend, that Sunday, another guy from L.A., he has had a ministry for 20-plus years, and he kind of retired, and he is planting a church in Korea. At Apgujeongdong, which is like Beverly Hills of Korea. And in Apgujeongdong, at this bagel coffee shop upstairs, beautiful place, and he texted me and said, hey, Pastor O, you know, I planted a couple weeks ago, and I'll be honored if you come and be the first guest speaker at our church. I said, sure. So I just go there. Guess who was sitting in front of me? BY and his wife and his child. I'm like, what's going on, Lord? Why am I connected to BY in this way? And the pastor from LA said, yeah, I mentored him when he was a teenager. And so we connected. And so this book was written, To Those Who Want to End It All, BY says. A little clapping, a little cheering. Okay. This is more important than Dodgers winning, okay? Because this could save lives, right? This could save lives. See, I wrote in Korean and then I translated into English, and I just feel like, you know, no young kid who is ready to kill themselves is going to go bookstore and buy a book on suicide. You know what I'm saying? That's the last thing they think about, going to bookstore and buy a book on suicide. So I knew, I said, Lord, how can I distribute this book free of charge? And the number I got was 10,000 copies. So I said, and I raised enough money to print 10,000 copies. And I did my first initial print of 5,000 copies. And now I don't know what to do. It's like 5,000 copies of books. Who do I give to? Right? This is where God will start leading you. This is where impossible becomes possible. You know, as I was talking to a guy, he was the president of Christian Television System USA. He and I did motorcycle tour of America, 2007, 30 days, and he was the president, and he filmed, and we made into 8 documentaries. So I said, hey, I wrote a book. I would like to promote it through your TV station, CTS, in Korea. I said, dude, I finished that job 10 years ago, but I do have someone that you might be interested in meeting. He runs a secular media. But you might be interested in seeing CEO Kang. I said, yeah, sure, you know. So I go to his huge office, like tons of people working, and I, on the 8th floor, I arrive and go to CEO's office, and the guy comes, just look at me, start running and hugs me. I'm like, oh, please. First time, man, don't be too. So first time we're meeting, why are you hugging me this way? He said, oh, no, Pastor O, you forgot. I said, forget what? He said, I stayed at your Cambodia home 15 years ago. I said, what? You stayed at my home 15 years ago? Yeah, I was, you know, production manager in Cambodia project. And I stayed at your house near the Russian market. I'm like, I don't have a clue. I don't remember you. But he was so excited. And he said, Pastor O, when I received your book, my heart started pumping because this is a secular TV. I cannot promote anything that is religious. The one mention of Jesus, this book is out. One mention of Bible, it's out. But how did you know how to use BY's lyric? Because it's just Bible. And BY says, and then I print the Bible. And it's okay. Right? How did you come up with that idea? I said, just God, I guess. He said, my son, once in junior high, tried to commit suicide, and Lord saved him, and now he's a young man, and, you know, Melanie, whatever, he's really happy, loves the Lord. And so all his life, he felt like, I need to do something about suicide. I indebted to God to do something on suicide. But here, you sent me a book. And so he said to one of the PD guys, and said, I want you to cancel all your, you know, studio time, and make him space for 4 20-minute video that will air in our production, our channel, free of charge. And then he said, once it's done, from December, from next week, it will hit all the 17 national TV free of charge. And it's like, and I stand there like, really, God? You're gonna do that? You know, I just wrote a book. It will hit 17 national educational channel media free of charge. The free is important. Remember I said, you'll be set free? It's free. I said, free, bring it on. Wow. And then I start passing out. You know that guy, the 12 years of suicide prevention? And I said, I wrote a book. He said, oh yeah, send me a few copies. I sent it to him. He wrote right back and said, I like it. It's written so easy. Can you give me 3,000 copies? It's free. I said, of course. I just don't know where to give all these books to. He said, we are getting, because the Korean government, we had a political change, and the new president said, it is ridiculous. We are number one in the world. So they just held. September 10th is International Day of Suicide Prevention. I didn't know that. So we're going to do, and there will be 1,000 delegates from all over Korea that actually runs the suicide prevention offices all over Korea. 1,000 leaders will gather together. Can I pass it out to these leaders? Can you send me 3,000 copies? I more than welcome. And September 10th come, this great meeting, and I wasn't there, I was in Cambodia. The guy, the keynote speaker, the founder, the organizer, he said, he walked up to the podium with my book, opened the book, start quoting. And he was mind-boggled, like, how did that happen? So he actually sent me the capture, the image, and sent it to me. I'm in Cambodia thinking, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? A simple book. Now it's in every suicide prevention office in Korea. Imagine. Amen. Dodgers won, man. Woohoo! Wow. That is something to celebrate. And it starts with just inkling in your heart. What is that when you read and when you study and the Word of God? And there's that Jehovah Rohi, my good shepherd, lead me. Because I don't know how to go anywhere with this burden, right? I never did suicide prevention counseling or any, never preached on that, but this burden that you give. And when we simply follow, then God start moving and God start doing that he does stuff that only God can do. Amen? And the verse 5 says this, who is it that overcomes the world? Only who believes that Jesus is Son of God. It is the victory. If you live a victorious life and if you credit yourself, you haven't really partnered with God. You could only say that because God was with me, because God was there with me, that it is. And I really sense that the word is this freedom, and with this freedom comes choice. With this choice, you need to make a decision. That's my final point. A lot of times we are so distracted with so many things. The enemy keeps you so distracted that he does not want you to make a decision. Today is the day. And after my message, Jenny's going to come and lead in a little prayer. I'm just going to give him a fair warning. And we'll have some keyboard playing. What is that decision that you need to make? 2025. It's over. Can you? 2025 is almost over. It's like, what? It's like, next time I'm going to see you will be Easter and then Christmas. And so it's like flying by 5 months. And I think it's the decision. Because you have a choice. Because you have a choice. You know. How many of you are the movie Matrix fan? I mean, Matrix, oh yeah. Oh, not too many. You need to repent. Watch that movie, Matrix. It's a very biblical movie. We actually have a Matrix philosophy group talking about the philosophical aspect of that. And it's just very profound. Why do you think his name was called Neo? Right? The same spelling as one. Oh, you didn't know that, yeah. Neo is one. Why? Because he is the only one who could had a choice. Remember that pink pill, the blue pill, red, right? He had a choice. The whole movie is about one making a choice about what kind of reality he wants to live in. So the whole movie, actually, the figure is the oracle. The oracle says, and it comes, and they just operate. So it's very lot of stuff, happening. And so, in a way, you are that one, right? You are the only one who can make a decision for yourself. You could only make the choice. Because a lot of times, what happens is that at the end of the life, you stand before God, Coram Deo, stand alone before God. You go through the pearly gate, and the Lord said, what have you done for me? You can never say, well, my mama said. Well, my friends told me this. No. You make a choice. You decided the life that you want to live. What is that? Right? So let's put up all the distraction. And as the Bible says that if Jesus if you're born of God, that you will know Jesus too. And the reason that you are victorious over your life, because you have relationship, yada, gnosis, with God. It is then that we need to make a decision. Yes, Lord, this burden in my heart. Everybody has different burden. You know, it doesn't even have to be, you know, supernatural, huge thing. You know, it's just like, I was having the last meal with this Dr. Oh. Dr. Oh couple came to Cambodia, served short term. I mean, this guy's like, wow, such a serving leader. And I said, you know, I need to have a meal with you. And then Saturday before I leave Korea, we're having this omakase. Omakase, what is omakase in Japanese? Omakase means chef's choice. It's not, you don't decide, chef decides. You never order. Omakase means the chef, okay, you want to eat this? I'm like, oh, no, no, you eat this, you know. It's omakase means chef choice, and it's very, very expensive. I loved it, and I just prayed that, Lord, no macro, you know. So I cannot eat macro, you know. So we're eating omakase, and then Dr. O was saying something crazy. He's just a young doctor. They just started an office in Sejong or Daejeon. 2.5 years ago. He said, 2.5 years ago, sir, I start a brand new practice, brand new city. I don't know anybody. And then so he does pain management clinic. And then one of the courier that you know, that's like guys who were in a little moto, back and forth, you know, delivering food, and found out he was 4th stage liver cancer. And he couldn't afford the treatment. Even with all the insurances, you need a very strong, to kill that pain. So it's all about killing the pain that he has. And he had to work with 4th stage liver cancer. He's delivering food, to the clinic, and he felt so compassionate. And then he said, well, there was this huge equipment that could really help his pain, but it's very rare. Nobody really needs that. It's very expensive. But he and his wife prayed about it and said, well, you know, honey, God called us to do a pain clinic. And we see someone in pain, 4th stage liver cancer, and it's incurable. They cannot even. So they bought the entire unit. Just treat one patient. And they giving some medicine that is like $100 a shot, but they charge in $10. Just to minister to him. Guess what? God completely healed him. Wow. I'm like, and then he said, Pastor O, it's just so wild. It was to manage their pain. It was not even, we're not even giving any medicine to heal. But the guy walked up to his office crying and said, I just did a final checkup and it's completely gone. My liver's normal. And he started going around spreading the rumors. I mean, to tell the good news. He said that his clinic has been packed. And he's not talking about success. He's making so much. He said he was so grateful that, Pastor, it was just our commitment to one person who was suffering so much. And he was serving us, carrying food for us, and he had no means to get this treatment. And isn't it amazing, Pastor? I said, oh, God, that's the God we serve. That's the God we serve. He does this incredible stuff in our lives that only he gets the credit. And we say, yes, Lord. And the decision he made, the financial loss that he had. Wow. You know, I'm just going to read a section off of my 200th book that I published. I wrote a book called 200th Book, so. I have a lot of fun in Cambodia. And this is what I wrote about love. In America, there is well-known saying, there's no such as free lunch. It sounds practical, even wise, yet the older I grow, the more I realize how profoundly unbiblical that sentiment is. Beneath its surface lies a worldly view that assumes every relationship must yield a return, that every interaction must have measurable outcome. It is, in essence, a godless, capitalistic deception, a philosophy that transformed love into leverage and people into commodities. For many years, I lived under that invisible spell. I measure ministry by numbers, success by exchange, friendship by reciprocity. I did not say it out loud, but deep down I asked, what do I get from this relationship? What is the benefit? Kierkegaard would have called the aesthetic stage of faith the life of those, one who lives outwardly for effect rather than inwardly for truth. I was busy doing, but rarely becoming. I was trying to serve God efficiently, but not necessarily faithfully. It took me decades and great deal of divine mercy to see that grace does not operate on that economy. In the kingdom of God, love is not a contract, but a covenant. You do not love to gain. You love because love itself is a reflection of God's own being. Kierkegaard wrote in The Works of Love that command to love is not fulfilled by loving what is lovable, but by loving because God commands it. That single sentence shattered my ministry mathematics. Love is not a means to an end. It is end itself. When we try to extract usefulness from every friendship or partnership, we reduce people to functions and relationship to formulas. What remains is the efficient but empty, plastic, polished, and without spirit. So I said, I'm committed to love because God is love. Amen. Let's pray. If you have a keyboardist, come and minister, and Jenny actually come and just help us to really go to that place of making that choice. What is that God has been speaking to you this whole year? That means God, it's already mid of November. I know God has been speaking to you as we worship today even. What is that? Let's make the decision today and say, God, I want some testimony that only you get the glory. Would you lay some soul upon our heart that we may love them in Jesus' name, unconditionally, agape them, that they will know that we know yada you in the life that we live. Oh, hallelujah.
Why don't we give this time to come before the Lord? If it has been that our mind is full of living a life of what is right or what is wrong. It's like that we have eaten the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And our mind is completely always trying to figure out what is right and wrong. But I feel like the message that we received today is about really eating from the tree of life. That is about love, grace, the life that God has given us, to choose Him over our own thoughts of right and wrong. So it's really not about just making a decision of right and wrong. Should I do this or should I do that? But it's about being in a position to receive from Him and to join Him in the things that He is doing already. And He reveals these things to you. He is moving, He's going, and He wants us to join Him. So why don't we make that decision at this time to join Him in what He's already doing in your life and He's calling you to. If there's any resistance and if there's any laziness, if there's any delay, just why don't we just bring these things before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I lay down my life before You and I want to join You, what You are doing already. The things that we know that He is calling us to, whether it is more commitment to the things that God is wanting you to be involved or letting go of things that doesn't belong in your life. Why don't we come to the Lord at the end of this year in 2025? It's only short time before the year ends. I think this message is very appropriate. God's way is beyond our ways. We cannot fathom the amazing life God has for us. He wants us to flourish. He said, come, come to me. And hear me. That your soul may live this life that I have planned for you. So why don't we just come to the Lord at this time? Let's just pray in unison to the Lord. Let's do Korean style. Let's just come to the Lord as a church, as an individual, and make a decision for the Lord. Let's pray. So, Father, we thank you, Lord. We come before you, Father, and we lay down our lives, Lord. And, Father, we pray that all the things that you have already shown us, Father, the small decisions that we need to make, Father, small things that you're prompting us, Lord. Father, it is not with our own strength, but, Father, by your Spirit, Lord. So, Father, come before you, O God. Holy Spirit, Lord, you said to seek and knock and ask. So, Father, we ask of you, O God. For, Father, you said that you will send the Holy Spirit. I will give you the Holy Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, come. Lord, we cannot do it with our own strength, with our own will. But, Father, may your will be done, Lord. I feel some of you guys are going through a period in your life right now that there's a sense of confusion and sense of like there is no order in your life. You feel that disorderly and chaos. Why don't we bring that to the Lord at this time? Bring it to him that he will give you a safe boundary. That he will give you safety. He will give you a place of comfort. And that you have faith to live your life in not in chaos, but in order, cosmos. So I feel like the Lord is calling you and saying, I no longer want this chaotic life, this disorderly life that I feel out of control. Bring it to the Lord at this time. Some of you are living a life like being a fat Christian, that you have a lot of things going on in your life, and you're just stuffed with it. And God is saying to let go some of those things. Is that activities or business of mind, needing to do so many different things? He's saying to you, you need to be lean and not have so many things, unnecessary things. But when you follow Christ and his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, those things that are unnecessary in your life will be taken care of. You will have power to lay it down. And you have the ability to follow and to lead a satisfying life. So bring these things to the Lord and repent. And some of the things that those unnecessary things in your life that you carry unnecessarily and feel burdened, lay it down at the feet of Jesus. Some of you guys are burdened with pain and sickness. It's a sickness of the body or sickness of the mind or sickness of the heart. And you cannot hear God because of these things, worries and fears. And so in the name of Jesus, the spirit of infirmity, sickness, the spirit of distraction. You have no rights over our minds. You have no rights over our bodies. You have no rights over our heart. We command you in the name of Jesus. You have no rights over us. You have no rights of control over us. We command you to get out of us, go straight to the feet of Jesus. Oh, Father, when a butterfly goes through metamorphosis, it does not know. He only feels the suffering, confusion maybe. But in the hands of God, you have created us like this butterfly going through metamorphosis. Some of us, we do not know, we do not understand, but we are in your hands. And then we will come out with the gift of new life, wings that we can fly. Oh, Father, some of us, we are unknown, we are uncertain where we are, but we trust in you. We trust that you are good. And we trust that there's transformation happening. So, Father, we submit to you, Lord, our life at this time. We make a decision to say yes to you and no to the things that is not from you. And so, Father, we say yes. Transform us, give us faith to know that you are good and you are our Lord, our Yada, our Yahweh. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.